If you think we can't have a little joy, even though we're going through some very trying times, we can have joy. Joy is very important, right? It's time to take your Jericho. God has promises for us. What hindereth from staking our claim? There's a great challenge before us. Victory can be ours according to our faith. Let's stand, if you would. We'll read you a couple of three verses of Scripture, and then we can sit right back down after we pray. Matthew 9 and 29. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith be it unto you. And of course we know that was talking about Jesus touching their eyes. And let's back up to the old Bible and go over to 2 Chronicles 20 and 15. And he said, hearken ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus said the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. And backing up a little bit more in 2 Chronicles 16:9, now notice this is really a powerful scripture to think about. For the eyes of the Lord runneth to and fro through the whole earth, to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose hearts is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth, thou shalt have wars. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you this morning for those that are in your house. Thank you for those that are not, God. We pray for all of them. We pray this morning, God, that you would give encouragement, Lord, to each one. Help us, God, to understand that we're not fighting a battle, but you're fighting a battle for us. And we're looking to you this morning, God, for a special touch, even in this service. Help us, oh God, that we can and will just allow you to take our lives and use them for your glory, not ours. And I pray for the Reventa Church of God, Lord, that you keep it strong and full of power and full of faith in Jesus' mighty name. And the church says, a little summary is God made promises to us. Or we read this, but what is hindering God's people from staking their claim? There's a great challenge for the churches to arise. Jericho was the hardest enemy to face. God said, let us start here and build God's confidence and create fear in the enemies. When you think about this is really amazing. Blessed assurance. We must believe and trust God has a plan. God was leading this man and God's people into a hopeless and a helpless situation, it seemed. Joshua 1 and 5 says, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And in verse 6 says, be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swore unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. And in verse 18 says of Joshua, whosoever he be that doeth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto the words in all of the commandments thou commandest him, he shall be put to death, only be strong and of good courage. Jericho, this is a seemingly impossible task to go through. But let's talk about the walls of this city. It was a place, there were mean people, cruel people. They were some very hard people and determined that they were going to be strong and rebel and all of this. Jerusalem was built on a high hill, or not Jerusalem, excuse me, Jericho. Jericho was the strongest, most prepared area in then known world. It was a very strong place. Jericho's walls could not be penetrated by the strongest of the strong. Jericho could withstand any long siege that would come against them. Now, I want to tell you, folks, this was a very prepared city. There was no way that Joshua and God's people could take this stronghold down. The king of Jericho was preparing his, or had prepared his people, and he was confident that no power could conquer his city, Jericho. Now, I want you to notice something that's very interesting. Jericho built two walls. We hear about the wall of Jericho falling, but notice this. They built two walls. Jericho knew Israel was coming. He knew, they'd already heard, they knew what the promise of God was, and they knew that the Israelites had already crossed over the River Jordan, and they were headed their way. They knew that they were strong people, but they thought, there's no way that they can penetrate this wall, no way that they can bring it down. So they were prepared for a long time. Not only were the walls well built, they were very strong walls, strong watchtowers, and they had some very strong gates also. And if an enemy could get over the first line of defense, they were trapped in between the first and the second wall. Now notice this. This is very important. The city was self-sufficient. Elisha's spring supplied their water, their need for a long siege. But there was many other wells and springs. In addition to that, Jericho had a trained army and trained citizens to protect the water source and all of this. And there was it was very clear, there was a plan put in place. The battle strategy would have probably suggested to bypass this city because it was such a strong city. So Jericho, because of Israel's desire, the hill of Canaan land, there was a mighty reason why not to bypass Jericho. Jericho was not destroyed and set in a strategy position. Now, I want you to notice something. But God says, don't bypass this. You start right here. You start with the strongest city in Cana. You start with the most impossible looking situation in the entire promised land. Don't bypass it. I want to stop here just a minute. I want to tell you something, folks. We as Christian people, we can't bypass the situation we're at. We can't bypass anything that the devil has put out in front of us. But we've got to realize that, hey, It's like a Jericho wall. And we can't do anything about the wall in ourselves other than pray and believe God. But we do know who God is, and we do know God knows how to take care of us. So if Jericho was not defeated, well, they would have this mighty army, the enemy, and they'd have this enemy that they had bypassed. If they did bypass, they would be behind them. You don't want the enemy behind you when you are fighting a battle. You want the enemy up here in front of you where you can face it and defeat him like this. So God said, hey, don't you bypass this city. You start right here. And you do it like I tell you, and everything's going to be all right. So God first, and God never said, Joshua, you go fight Jericho. Notice this. But God said, Joshua, I am God. I go before you. Trust my plan. Now, I want to tell you, God's got a plan for the United States of America, so don't think that God has forgotten us. Joshua followed Moses for years, and now the rod of God taught Joshua trusting God is more than a wishing well. Joshua knew exactly what would take place. Joshua knew that he could trust God because he had come up with Moses all these years. Moses had been the one that had taught him, and he had trusted Moses' ability because he had watched and he saw how good God was. I want to tell you, young people, you watch some of the older people that have gone through trials and persecutions and hard times and all of this. Lean times, if we may say that. Lean times because of the lack of personal stuff and the lack of whatever it is that is lacking or was lacking in people's lives. No, they didn't have an air conditioner. They would open the windows and didn't even have a fan to put in it because most people didn't even have electric. So, hey, the breeze would come on through. Well, how in the world could they stand it, Brother Gordon? It was so hot and all of this. Well, I want to tell you something, folks. You took what God gave you, and you took the breeze that God gave you, the airflow, and you opened your windows and they let the air come through. You say, but what about the flies coming in and all the mosquitoes and gnats and all of that? Yeah, you had battles with that too. You had to battle all this stuff, but hey, you still survived because God was still in charge. But what I'm trying to tell you, there was some hard times. People are expecting some hard times, even possibly this winter. You can't even find a canning jar lid, or most places not even jars now, to can what you've already got. If you don't have a freezer and you run out of jars, you're just going to have to give it to your neighbor and let them have it, right? So we're living in a very unusual time. Never has there ever been a time that you couldn't find a jar lid. You can't find a jar lid. And even Amazon, you can order from Amazon, and they've jacked the prices up about 3 or 4 times higher than they should be. And all of this taking advantage of people that trust in God to take care of what he's already blessed them with. So we're looking at a time right now that things could get a little rough this winter. You just don't know. We need to prepare ourselves. Be as prepared as we possibly can. If you have a freezer, put stuff in it, whatever. You say, oh my goodness, you think God will supply your need. You can grant that. But when God gives you something, he expects you to take care of it. God helps us to have a paycheck. God gives us a paycheck and he expects us to take care of it, not squander it away. He expects us to take care of ourselves and pay our own bills and all of this. And if you can help somebody else, that's well and good. But God protects his own. He takes care of his own. So we need not think that God has just forgotten all about us. God has always took care of his people. He always will. And the battle that we're facing, we can't see it. You can't see it. We know there's a battle there. There's an unseen battle that we're fighting, we're facing, and all of this. But God is still in charge. He knows exactly how to take care of his people. Can you say amen? Do you think God's going to let us down now? You think God is going to back away and let us down? Here Joshua was. He was a mighty guy. But God didn't say, hey, Joshua, you go over and fight that city. He said, Joshua, you go over there. I'll take care of this. I'm going to fight your battle. I have a plan. And he started putting the plan in place. Here these people probably looked at Joshua and said, hey, Joshua, you're nothing like Moses. Moses would go in there and he'd whip the socks off of them. He'd go in there and he'd send some armed people over there and he'd just wipe them off the map. No, God had a plan for him. He wanted to start him out right. This is what God wants to do in our life. He wants to start us out right by trusting him fully, and he'll take care of us. Can you just say amen? We have a tradition in this area at funerals sometimes. The preacher follows the police car or the lead car and is in front of the hearse and the family. This is a symbol of God's first, God's word, and God's man is first. Isn't it amazing? We used to have cops that would lead our funeral positions and all of this. Our sheriff departments used to do this. But now, due to their low finances, or that's one of their excuses, they don't lead a funeral procession now, but they have given the funeral directors, they can have a lead car and they can put a flashing light on it and all of this, and it's legal for them to run red lights and all of this with the funeral procession. Well, I want to tell you something, folks. Out of respect, seem like that our police department and so forth has lost respect of people that have died and people's families and all of this. Now, that's my opinion. It'll cost you a penny. But I want to tell you, that's kind of the way I see it. But still yet, we do the best we can, right? Now, other counties still does it. Madison County still does it. The last funeral I had over there, they still do it. And I respect them, and I thank every one of them, too, if I could possibly get a chance, because I think it's very valuable and very important. I think we need that back in Estill County. Can anybody just, well, you don't have to say amen. That's my opinion. You may have a different one. Joshua 6:4 talks about, and the seven priests shall bear before the ark seven trumps of ram horns, and the seventh day ye shall compass the city seven times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets or the ram's horns. And in verse 6 says, and Joshua son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant and let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horn before the ark of the Lord. Now notice this. And in verse 8 says, and it came to pass when Joshua had spoken unto the people that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horn passed on before the Lord and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of covenant of the Lord followed them. Isn't that amazing? Go out here and hear God's got a plan. Looked like one of the awfulest plans you ever seen. Here you are. You've got the priest going out here and they've got some ram horns, blowing some ram horns. The Ark of Covenant following along, and they don't say anything about the army is prepared, even though they were there, no doubt. But I want to tell you, it's amazing, is it not? And Joshua 6:13, and the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark, they went on continual and blew the trumpets, and the armed men went before them, and the reward came after the ark. And then the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. Joshua obeyed the instructions of God. Here's the key, folks. And I want to stop here and I want to make a bold statement about children. That's God's gift, is children. Can you say amen to that? But let me now talk to the parents first. Don't let your children get by with a lot of stuff. And why should you do that? Listen to me carefully. Do you give them orders or do they give you orders? Think about it just a minute. I hear a lot of back talking and all this, but listen carefully. If you are disobedient to your parents, you rebel against your parents and you won't hear what they say, you won't listen to them, you are walking on thin ice. It's dangerous. It's very dangerous. This is why a lot of people die young, because they won't listen to their parents. And then again, there's some parents that you can't hardly blame the kids for not listening to them, the lifestyle that they're living in front of them. But if you got a godly parent, you listen to them. They're not going to stir you wrong or tell you wrong. But notice, Joshua obeyed the instructions of the Lord. He placed these seven priests with the seven trumpets and all of this. And it's amazing. And this is the sixth book of the Bible. And it's the book of Joshua, the strong city in which was chosen to take first. Why not Ai, one of the little weak towns? Why not it? Well, why not? Jericho was chosen to be the first battle of the Israelites because, hey, if they take this one, then that's going to put fear in a lot of other people. It's going to put fear in some of these other supposedly strong things. But the wall of Jericho was massive stone. The lower part of the wall were at least 13 feet high with a watchtower around 28 feet. Now this remember that there was the inner wall. The inner wall was 40 feet high. So when you think about that, these walls were not only intended to protect the people, but Jericho had a great source of water and the wells and the springs and all of this. So the source of the water was right in the middle of a desert land. It was a dry land, it was a thirsty place to be and all of this, but all of these springs and wells and all of this was right in this city. And not only did they have one wall, but they had two walls. The first wall wasn't hardly that high. So you would think if the enemy got through that first wall, got over the first wall, they were doing well. But think about the other wall was about 40 feet high. And once you went over that first wall, and here they are up on the watchtowers, and here they are up on the other wall, you're in trouble. You see, the devil had a trap. The devil had a trap because they could get over the first wall pretty easy, probably, about 13 or 14 feet, something like this. But when they got over that wall there, then, hey, and they got over it and looked up, hey, here's another 40-foot wall. And they've got them trapped. And they stoned them to death, killed them, and all of this. The enemy could not penetrate that 40-foot wall very well. It'd take a high ladder, would it not? It'd take a big thing to get over that 40-foot wall. But I want to tell you something, folks. God had a plan. He didn't want his people getting slaughtered. He didn't want them getting hurt. He didn't want them getting killed. He knew that there was a trap out there. He knew there was something and all of this. And here, Jericho thought, hey, we've got it made. We got all kinds of water. We got food stored back and all of this. There's no way that they can withstand us because it's a desert land. It's a dry desert. How in the world are they going to have enough water? They can't hang around long. They're going to have to get out of here because they can't hang around out there because there's no water hardened. But I want to tell you something. God had a plan. Joshua, you go out there. And you do like I tell you, and everything is going to be all right. It's not your battle, it's my battle. So I want to tell you, folks, we go out there, and they look like a bunch of idiots to these Jericho people because, hey, they go out there, and here the priest is running around blowing trumpet horns, ram horns. Here they are blowing these. And here they look like this. But there's one thing I want you to notice. God told them, Joshua told them actually. Joshua said, keep your mouth shut. Well, that's hard for a lot of people, is it not? That's hard for me, right? You can say amen, that's all right. He said, keep your mouth shut. In other words, don't you make a sound. You just march. Here they go. Marching around. But we wouldn't have no trouble keeping our mouths shut. They wouldn't know if our mouths are shut or not, would they? But the thing about it is, hey, he wanted them to be quiet. And God had that plan, and can you imagine? This is why sometimes we don't need to open our mouth and try to argue with the enemy. We need to keep our mouth shut. We just need to pray under our breath. God's going to take care of it. Can you say amen to that? He's going to take care of it. Hey, let them run their mouth. Let them talk. Let them do this and that and something else. But I'm telling you something, folks. It's amazing to me how that God sometimes just tells us, would you just shut up? He may not put it in that word, but that's exactly what he means. Joshua said, don't open your mouth. Don't you say a word. And they go out here and they're marching around. First day they march around real quiet. Other than the trump of God. I mean, the priests blowing their horns. Woo! Can you imagine these people inside that wall? What is these people doing? Are they crazy? Why in the world are they blowing those trumpet horns? And all the rest of them just as quiet as a little church mouse. But I want to tell you, folks, the first day, nothing. Nothing happened. Here they go back the second day. Same thing. Shh, don't you say a word. Be quiet. They go again. Third day, fourth day, fifth day. Sixth day, can you imagine the laughter that went up in that city? What does these crazy people think they're doing out there in this desert land, thinking they can come up against us? What are they doing? Did you ever ask God sometimes, God, I don't understand what you're doing, but I know you're the boss. I don't know what you're doing, God, but I do know you have a plan. God has a plan for us, whether you believe it or not. He hadn't forgot about us, where we're at and what we're going through and all this stuff that the devil is throwing at us. He hadn't forgot us. He still has a plan, folks, and his plan is going to work. So on the seventh day, there's something happened. Joshua said, now on the seventh day, you're going to march around that city seven times. Just go ahead. Get ready. Can you imagine some of them probably saying under their breath, we've already marched around that city six times. 6 days in a row. Joshua, what in the world do you think we are? Now you expect us to go around seven times? Now, I can't remember how big the city was, but no doubt it was a large city. And it's set up on a hill. But here they're marching around this hill, marching around the city and all of this. I want to tell you something, folks. There's no way in human thing. Now, if it was today, they'd just take a bomb up there and blow the wall down. That'd be all there would be to it. Send a big jet over and drop a few bombs on it and wipe them off and blow the thing out and all of this. But I want to tell you something, folks. They didn't have anything like that. All they had was hand weapons. But God is still saying, hey, Joshua, don't worry about it. Can you imagine the people, though, on the sixth day looking at Joshua and say, hey, Joshua, to themselves, because I believe he just tell them be quiet because he was a man in authority and he was a man that was under God's plan. He had the plan of God and it was working and all of this. Well, I'm going to tell you, folks, it's amazing to me how, though, on the seventh day, they kept marching around. Can you imagine these people over in Jericho? They go around once, and they look down, and here they're going around again. Well, that's unusual. They never have done that before. And then they get around, and here they go around again. What is these people doing? What do they think they are anyway? But after they go around the sixth time, there's something that happens. When they blow these trumpets, the people were able to open their mouth. Joshua said, open your mouth. And they begin to open their mouth and yell. And I don't know what the things they said, but I want to tell you, whatever it was great. It was great. Here they are up here looking down. These people are nuts. They are crazy. All of a sudden, You know, it's amazing to me because everybody talks about the walls of Jericho falling down. They went down all right, but some of these people believe that actually what happened is an earthquake took place and they just sunk down in the ground. And I believe that. Because if they had just fell over, can you imagine that one wall, say it's 13 feet and the other, if it fell on top of it, well, you'd have a 13-foot wall laying there and you'd have another 40-foot wall over it and they still probably couldn't get in there. But it went flat, down in the ground or whatever. People down in the southeastern part of Kentucky said this morning, one pastor said, "Did you feel that earth shaking this morning?" Another came back and said, "I felt it all the way up here to Hazard." Well, I didn't feel no earthquake up here, but evidently there was an earthquake took place down that area. But see, when God sends an earthquake, there's a reason for it. And when this began to happen, so hey, the walls fell. And you know the whole story about it? God did the work. He took care of it. But they had to follow God's plan. You see, here's what happens to a lot of good people, good intending people. They start out and they're running the race and they're running it so well. But after a while, they begin to ignore what thus saith the word of the Lord. You know why they do this is because they think everything is all right. I've got it made. There's nothing going to hinder me and all of this. Well, I want to tell you, when you're least expecting it, that's when the enemy sneaks in. When you're least expecting it, that's when the devil sneaks in and builds up a wall or whatever he might do to hinder God's people. We have been hindered in a lot of ways. But God still has a plan for your life. Don't you ever forget it. He hasn't forgot where you at. He knows your house number. He knows your telephone number. He could call you on the telephone. But the good part about God, he don't have to call you on the telephone. The Holy Spirit is kind of like a cell phone in a sense. Hey, you're going to get the message. But it's not going to be through a cell phone. It's going to be through and by the Holy Ghost. And this is the good part about God. I want to try my best to encourage you this morning, folks, because God has not failed us. God has not failed us. He's taken care of us. He's going to take care of us right on. But let me just throw in something in closing. I mentioned the little city of Ai. Ai was just a very small place, just a little old bitty city. They could have whipped it just with one hand tied behind them, is the old saying. But you know what happened? They go out there, and they come back like an old dog with its tail between its legs. And Joshua goes to God and says, "Hey, God, what in the world is wrong? I mean, you know, hey," he's crying out to God. Some of his people did not obey God. They allowed the enemy to defeat them. Well, God allowed the enemy to defeat them. Why? Because they were disobedient. Now, notice what it said, and I read to you over without going back. It said, "Them that don't obey," in other words, going to wipe them out. You're going to have to kill them. Be strong, very courageous. So here's a group of people, without going to all this story, I'm going to make it very short, closing, but he takes them about the whole family. That's why when you disobey a God, it's not just you, but the whole family suffers. So they took them out and stoned them to death. Why? Because God told them if they didn't obey his commandments, what was going to happen? They would die. So Joshua had to have them stoned to death because of their disobedience. It's important, folks, that we obey God down to every letter. Everything in that Bible is written for our benefit. Everything in that Bible is to help us to live in these last days that we're living in now. It's to help us be prepared and be ready when Jesus steps out on the cloud, that we won't have to worry about it because we've already just ready to be suited up with our glorified, I could say robe, but actually it's more than a robe, it's a body, one likened unto Jesus Christ. And that's the thing that we need to do. Be prepared. Don't let down now. Folks, we're too close home now to throw in the towel or give up. Jesus is coming soon.
Yes, he is.
Very soon. Would you stand, please, as they play and sing? We need to walk in the victory. The wall will crumble and God's people will walk victory. Never have we been hindered with the things that we're being hindered with today before. But God will allow us to walk in victory over the enemy and continue walking over enemy. Put the enemy under your foot, not in your face or on your back. Put him under your feet. Keep him there. Start talking to God. The walls ahead will crumble. You can count on it. You can count on it. You can count on God. As they play and sing, the altar's open. If you just like to come in prayer, kneel at your seat, whichever. Folks, if we've ever prayed, we need to pray now.